Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou hast brought peace to our hearts. Thou hast given us the quiet assurance that God Himself is kind and benevolent, and that we can count on Thee to help us. So, our Father, we pray now as we study that Thou wilt open Thy Word and open our hearts, and let the truth come in. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. In our study of the Gospel according to Matthew, we have been following through on a number of the great works of power which the Lord Jesus performed, mostly works of healing, but always works in which He demonstrated His power over the forces of nature. And we're going to have another of these now as we turn in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, in the first 8 verses. This is a very famous incident and is one that we love to notice and to see because of what it implies. It's the story of the healing of the palsied man. And this is the way the story goes. He entered into a ship and passed over, came into his own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us how they brought him. Some of the other Gospels tell us that when they came, there was such a crowd that they couldn't get in the front door, so they climbed up on the roof and opened the tile of the roof and let the man down on a stretcher, on a pallet, and they just let him down through the roof before the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew doesn't report all that. All Matthew says is they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Notice that expression, seeing their faith. This is a very interesting thing. The Lord Jesus saw the faith of those friends and blessed the man they brought. Evidently, it makes a difference to the spiritual experience and welfare of other people what we do on their behalf. Sometimes, you know, we try to encourage people to invite others to church and to bring others to church. And sometimes I know that we get the feeling that it isn't important or that it just doesn't matter. We bring certain people to church, and maybe we've brought them to church before, and maybe we've brought them before that. We've been bringing them to church, and we can, on occasion, just get to the place where we have the feeling, it just doesn't help, it just isn't any good, I've got other things to do, and it's just no use of me doing this kind of thing. But please notice, the Lord Jesus saw the faith of these friends, and He blessed the man they brought. Faithfulness on the part of any of us in bringing someone to the church, bringing someone to the services, getting somebody to read the Bible, encouraging somebody to pray, it can happen that the Lord Jesus will actually notice the faithfulness and actually notice the strength of those who do this sort of thing and bring the blessing. In this case, He saw their faith, and He said to the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And immediately, if you stop to think about it, it will strike you, that's not what they came for. That isn't what they came to ask for. You remember? When they took the trouble of bringing that man on a pallet to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what they wanted. They wanted him to be able to walk. They wanted him to be free from his trouble. And the Lord Jesus, at this point, says, Thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, they didn't get what they wanted just at the moment. That was not what they wanted. But they got something far more important. And many, many times it is true that people who would come to God for some specific thing, they come to God for some practical purpose of some sort. The important thing is not the practical purpose that they're coming for. The important thing is they came to God and they had relationship with Him, which is far more important than whatever the practical situation might have in mind. Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. When he had turned to this man on the pallet on the bed, lying there paralyzed, and said to him, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." These scribes immediately said, "That's not right. No man can forgive sins. He's blaspheming." And Jesus, knowing their evil thoughts, that is, their thoughts of, doing him harm, contrary to him, hostile to him, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why are you thinking that so far as this situation is concerned, that anything has happened which would be wrong in the sight of God? For whether is it easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go home unto thine house." And he arose and departed to his house. That's just exactly the way in which the story unfolds and the way in which it happened. Now, he had said to them, "Thy sins be forgiven." Then he ran into the fact that some people said he couldn't forgive sins. And isn't this a strange thing? They probably would have accepted the healing as all right. They'd have been surprised. They'd have admitted they couldn't do it. They'd have said, "That's wonderful. That would be all right." But when it said that their sins were forgiven and that God would forgive them their sins, then they objected. In other words, they doubted that a man could be forgiven. And from our point of view of Bible study, we would say they doubted the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They doubted the atonement. So the Lord Jesus said, "That you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." That you may know that Jesus Christ can work a reconciliation with God. That he actually can implement the atonement of any particular soul. In order that you may know that he has that authority, he saith to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." This brings to our mind the significance of miracles, of these works of power and these works of unusual consequence by the power of God, who is able to overrule the things of nature. The significance of that is that it is God, and that God is able. And then when you hear about that God will save, that's the God that will save you. "And he arose and departed to his house, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God which had given such power unto men." And that's another reason for the miracle, was for the multitude, that they would be impressed by it. Now, as you look back over this whole story, there are many things in it that you will want to dwell upon, but let's consider the man himself who was healed. He was brought to the Lord by his friends. And when he came to the Lord, he presented a challenge before the Lord for his work, as it were. And after he was healed, he went out and was an exhibition before other people of what the Lord had done. Multitudes marveled and glorified God. Here is the importance of miracles, is the effect upon unbelievers. If you will let me say so, it wasn't so much that the man in himself was healed. That was important, and that was very real. It wasn't so much that from now on he would be free to move around and do anything he wanted to do. The thing of real importance was that Christ Jesus could do it, that he was able, and that coming to him puts us in touch with a power that's greater than the natural power. And so we can draw certain lessons from this incident we have seen. I don't want to miss this first one, and I'll mention it to you again. Friends bringing someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. It would take at least, we will say, 4 friends, one at each corner of his stretcher, of his pallet, who would carry his bed and carry him on it and bring him to the Lord. Have you ever stopped to think of what would happen if you had 4 men in the church try to bring someone to church? If you had 4 women undertake to bring another woman to church, you know what would happen? I think they'd come to church. If you had 4 men work on one man to bring him to church, I think that man could be impressed to the point that. But apart from that, that's what these people did. These 4 people came and brought this man, and the Lord Jesus looked on them and saw their faith. This is a great comfort to parents. If you and I, as parents, are faithful to God, faithful in what we do, and we come before God, and naturally we come before God with our children, and we would pray for our children. Let's keep this in mind. If you and I will be faithful, If you and I will actually exercise the faith we have, it can easily be that God will look at our faith, will look at what we have actually presented, and on the basis of that, he can actually bless and keep those whom we cherish and whom we hold dear. I know so far as that is concerned that even with our friends, and we try to help our friends all we can, we'd like to do everything we can for our friends, but we know we can't do everything. And we know that there are some things they need that only God can do. And the marvelous thing is that God will do it. And we see an instance of it right here in this situation. Also, again, let me remind you that this was not done because the man needed it. In other words, this was not particularly done because those friends needed to see this evidence. This was done because the scribes needed to see this evidence. The people needed to see it. So far as the man himself was concerned, apparently what he needed was that he should have his sins forgiven. Apparently the thing he needed to know above everything else is that God would be merciful and gracious to him. So far as the outside world was concerned, what they needed to know was that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ had authority, that when he gave a promise, it was real. If he said a man's sins were forgiven, they were really forgiven because the one saying it was the one who had the power of God. All of these things are to be found in this incident of the palsied man. The wonderful thing is the man was healed in a way that glorified the name of God. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us as we think on these things. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.